Teddy Bruschi stops in. If, for the record, when I cover the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now and in locker rooms, I had, you know, sort of a sense one or two players could be gay. I always thought the players knew, and nobody cared. Those teams weren't very good. They had bigger issues. When you were with the Patriots, and you're not going to announce names, but did you have a feeling maybe?
I didn't know of any teammates that I had that that were gay. It was known across the league that there were, of course, there probably were gay players in the National Football League. Just the openly gay player just hasn't been evident until this year, and
right,
possibly coming into the teams, which Michael Sam probably will do.
It is a machismo locker room. How much do you guys hang out away from the field? Because that's generally when you would suspect, or, I mean, you're a family guy.
I've had years where I'm around my teammates all week.
Why?
All week. It's just that type of camaraderie where you are at your point in your life, young player, rookie player, first year, second year, off-season workouts when, say, rookies, they put you up in a hotel and you're there for workouts and all that stuff. Everybody, we're going to see movies. We're going out to eat. We're doing everything. We're knocking on guys' doors. That progresses to first, second, third year in the league. I got married my second year to my wife, my college girlfriend. And, still we would go out as couples with other people and go to functions and things like that. But as you get older, you're talking decades in the league now, Colin. You get to be a decade, and I got kids that are 5, 4 and like 2 years old. I'm going home. And then you get to realize, you know, it's almost like that maturation process as a man. It's like, fellas, I'm going to see you tomorrow about 7 a.m. It's 5 o'clock. I'm getting out of the facility, guys. I gotta go.
You know, it's why, you know, I said that like a team like Seattle that has Pete Carroll, who's kind of a West Coast vibe guy, progressive guy, young locker room, young players today, young people in general, judging on my email, are more tolerant of different lifestyles. I don't know why that is, but my emails show me that young people are like, yeah, live and let live. Sometimes older people, not so much. Did you find in your NFL career with any issue socially? Older players, younger players, do they handle it differently?
Well, here's a fact. Here's a fact on NFL locker rooms. Whether you're a younger player or an older player, there will be youth and there will be signs of immaturity from everyone.
Yeah.
From everyone based on the comments that are yelled across locker rooms, some of the discussions you get in. So this is something, this is the unknown. This is uncommon. I mean, this is new ground for a lot of these young, immature players. And you cannot assume what their reactions will be. I think if you're a general manager, a head coach, I think you realistically should survey your team and talk to your captains and ask them the question. I mean, we're thinking about drafting Michael Sam.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What do you think? You think we can handle this? Because
yeah,
as good as a GM thinks he knows his locker room, the captains will know it better. The veteran players will know it better. And there could be an answer from those players that say, well, first of all, I mean, I know there are some players that are going to have some problems, but I think we can generally handle it. So I think it's going to be mixed in terms of what answers you get from your veteran leadership.
Yeah. I said this yesterday. Coming out of college, you were a great pass rusher. You were just instinctive. If somebody said you were a little undersized,
right?
But I always thought if you'd have said Teddy Bruschi, and I watched your college days, I would have said incredible motor, very instinctive. I look at Michael Sam's and I think undersized, incredible motor, pretty instinctive. Now some people, I don't remember where you were drafted. That's not to say you're the exact same player, but right, there are going to be those. He's a little undersized guy. I look at his background and his family and what he's gone through. That motor tells me his story. Like, I look at him and I just see motor. What do you see as a player?
I've watched him. I've watched him since this news has broken. I want to see how good he is as a player. And I do see a player that probably will not be a defensive end. I don't know if he can succeed at that position. He was rotated a lot also when he played at Missouri. So it wasn't like he was an every down player to get a good gauge on him. He was a guy that they had a little rotation going amongst that defensive end position. So, you know, good production this year. This, I think he had 11 and a half sacks this year. The best production of his career. So, I mean, I would say his production is good. Effort is good. I'm looking at a positional move. I'm looking at a player that can possibly be, I don't know, do you play outside linebacker? Do you play inside linebacker? And is he instinctive enough to play linebacker? That's where I have my doubts also. But can he be within a group and be a backup player and be a special teams player?
A situational player.
Sure, sure. That also provides depth to your team. And that's what you're always talking about when you're talking about a fifth round, sixth round, a seventh round pick, something like that. He's going to get his chance. And whatever team decides to give him that chance, I think looking to see if he has positional flexibility will add to his value to make it in the NFL.
Talking about Michael Sam with Teddy Bruschi, the Herd on ESPN Radio. What have you made of the reaction of the story? My email just never stops. I wanted to talk about Jeter today. It never stops. Just the reaction of the public and the media. Did you think it would be, when it first came out, did you think, man, this will be a week-long story?
It's groundbreaking, if you ask me. I mean, for players, for him to do what he's done, it's never been done before. And when something like this happens, I think to anticipate the reaction of a place that's been so stereotyped, the NFL locker room, that's been so stereotyped as guys that are, you know, grunts that say anything that they want to say when they get amongst themselves and they're by themselves, anything goes. How would he survive in that? I think it's a topic that warrants the discussion.
10 years ago, 15 years ago, it wasn't a gay player. It was women in the locker room. But similarly, we were concerned about the language in the locker room and how somebody would be treated. Have you ever been in an NFL locker room with a female reporter and you were uncomfortable with the immaturity of the players?
No, I haven't had that example. And if I ever had any type of feeling like that, I mean, quickly we'd go up and we'd correct the young player on terms of language that was used, even in cafeterias, when females would be part of the staff that would service the food, and certain words were said. You know, veterans on our team would stop that right away because we understood that there was a right way to treat people. That started from the top, of course, from Mr. Kraft and Belichick about, you know, the proper treatment of people in the workplace. Very important for the leadership of your team to also adopt that and then be active, proactive about it.
And you were one of those guys.
I was, about talking to one of those guys. You drop F-bombs in the cafeteria when someone's trying to deliver your food and they're right next to you. You got to watch what you're saying because you got to be respectful. This isn't the locker room right now. And even when the media gets in the locker room, it's not your locker room anymore because you realize now this is an open forum and things have to change. You would recognize when it'd be the media portion of the time that we were in the locker room, guys would either leave and go work out or guys would go eat lunch because, you know, you can't act the same way. So that's when you could hem and haw and have fun in the weight room or in the cafeteria or in the training room or something like that. Whenever we're CIA was a term that we use, coach in area. All right. When we're in the locker room and these coaches come walking through, CIA fellas, boom, zip it up. Because, I mean, Belichick could walk through, and it's like, all right, just clam it up. Then he'd go, all right, what's up? Just sort of things like that. That's how private the locker room can be sometimes.
Good seeing you, buddy.
All right, man. You too.
I got to use that. See ya. We'll do BIA, boss in the area.
He was just here.
Mo was just here. BIA. BIA.
You see my instincts, too. I clammed up right away because he had that feeling about him.
He did. Like a boss.
Watch out.
Penguin boss suit.